You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, there's something fascinating happening in our culture right now, and it is the utter fixation with everybody wanting to be right about everything. Wanting to be right about their opinions, their politics, their stance on cultural issues. I mean, when was the last time you were dialoguing with someone and you pointed out how they were wrong and they stopped and said, well, thank you so much for helping me see that I'm wrong. It turns out, after all, I am a racist. That never happens, right? It never happens. Now, combine everyone wanting to be right with the power of social media and we have the main ingredients for cancel culture. I know it's cliche, but we're living in the age of cancel culture. You guys know how this works, right? For example, a celebrity or the CEO of a company says the wrong thing, and someone calls them out on social media, and they get canceled. They get ostracized. Maybe their TV show or their Netflix show gets canceled, or people boycott the company's product. For example, this happened last summer with the company Goya. Yeah, you know Goya, the company that makes rice and beans. Like, the CEO of Goya said something supportive of President Trump, and people called for a boycott. I mean, Spanish people were laughing, like, you can't boycott rice and beans. I'm a gringo, and even I like Goya. Come on. Me gusta eros mexicano. Don't mess with my Mexi rice. The funny thing is, this actually backfired, and sales actually went through the roof for Goya. People were like, don't mess with my frijoles. You know what I'm saying? But this is what we see in our culture. You can get canceled by the left or the right politically. You can get canceled for something you said or did 20 years ago. I thank God social media wasn't around to document everything stupid that I said and did when I was 16 years old. I probably wouldn't be your pastor right about now. And we've probably all canceled someone on social media for saying something that we didn't agree with. You know, we just unfollowed them, unfriended them. We all have our own way of canceling people. Now, my oldest son, Aaron, who's a ninth grader, he actually understands this a lot better than me, and he keeps me up to date with the list of things that can cause you to get canceled. I don't know, the list is always changing. It's really hard to keep up with, so I'm really thankful that I have a teenager in the house to keep me from getting canceled. Now, maybe this is a good thing. For example, holding government leaders and celebrities accountable for their words and their actions. Maybe there is some reflection of true social justice here, but I think most of us can see how this can go the wrong direction, how this can really be taken too far. In fact, President Obama actually warned us about what he called call-out culture in a speech that he gave back in 2019. He said this: people who do really good stuff have flaws. Like, he was reminding us that we tend to put people in one category or the other. There's good people and there's bad people. And of course, we all think that we're good. But he was reminding us that good people are capable of doing bad things. We're all a mixed bag, and we really don't fit into the categories as much as we think we do. What's really fascinating to me is the psychology of all of this. It stems from this deep-rooted idea: I'm right, I'm a good person, I'm not like that bad person or those bad people. This is what psychologists actually refer to as fundamental attribution error. The bias to attribute our own behavior to our circumstances while attributing someone else's actions to their character. So, for example, if you're a parent of a toddler who's having a meltdown in the grocery store, you want everybody to give you grace because there are circumstances that are beyond your control. But if you're in the grocery store and you see someone else whose toddler is having a meltdown, you tend to judge them and think, well, they're just a bad person, right? They're a bad parent. This is the fundamental attribution error, and this is what causes us to judge other people. So here's the essence of cancel culture. Cancel culture says, I'm right, you're wrong, so you're canceled. We recognize this, don't we? But let's take a break from cancel culture for just a moment, because today is Good Friday. Now, for Christians, it's good, but for Jesus, it was bad because he went to the cross and he died an awful death. And we're reminded of why he went to the cross. He went to the cross for our sins. Now, speaking of the cross, we're going to look at some verses in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, who was a Jewish lawyer, he was an expert trained in the Torah, in the Old Testament law. He's unpacking the gospel for these Christians who are living in the city of Rome, and he starts by making the case that everyone has sinned. Like a good lawyer, he's prosecuting his case that everyone has sinned, Jew, Gentile, everyone. And then he begins to discuss the work of Christ on the cross. Look at this, Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10, the Apostle Paul writes this. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Look at verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So Paul tells us something powerful in Romans. He says we're all sinners, Jew, Gentile, like whoever you are, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we're all deserving of the wrath of a holy and righteous God who can have nothing to do with sin. But just when the bad news couldn't get any worse, he gives us the good news. But God, in his grace, sent his son to be a sacrifice for our sins, to pay for our sins, to die in our place. That's the good news of the gospel. And this is so countercultural. This is so counterintuitive to our thinking. Come on, let's be honest. We want bad people, we want guilty people to pay for their crimes and mistakes, don't we? Like innocent people don't die for guilty people. That's not the way it works. Come on, back to cancel culture for just a moment here. Cancel culture says, I'm not only going to point out how you're a bad person, I want you to pay for it. Like, I want you to be canceled for it. How many of you remember the story of the Central Park Karen, the lady named Amy Cooper, white woman who called the police on an unarmed black man in the Ramble in Central Park? And, you know, it was a pretty bad thing, and she got publicly shamed on social media, but people really wanted her to pay. Not only did she get shamed on social media, she lost her job. She even had to give up her rescue dog. Y'all, they took away her dog. Like, people wanted this woman's life to be ruined, to pay for her mistake. Now, Paul says, in the spiritual court of God's law, he says that we've been found guilty of our sins, and we stand condemned by a holy and righteous God. But here's the good news of the gospel. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. When we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Come on, here's the good news. Even though you're a sinner, instead of canceling for your sins, Jesus canceled your sins on the cross. Come on, Jesus didn't cancel you. He canceled your sins. He canceled your past. He canceled your sin and your shame. He didn't cancel us because we were guilty of our sins. Instead, he went to the cross and he paid for our sins on our behalf so that we could be reconciled, that our relationship with God the Father could be restored. In a culture where everyone wants to be right, where people post all of their self-righteousness and on social media and they point out how everybody else is wrong and everybody else's flaws, Good Friday is a countercultural moment. What we're doing tonight, worshiping together, this is a countercultural moment that reminds us of a God who is otherworldly, a God who is not like us, a God who didn't cancel us because we're wrong, but a God who reached out to us, a God who runs out to meet us, a God who sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to cancel our sins and cancel our past, to love us as we are, even in our sins. It's a day when we acknowledge that we're wrong, that we're sinful, and that we failed to love God and others the way we should, that indeed we need a Savior. Come on, we didn't need another moral teacher. We needed a Savior. We needed a cross. Now think about this for a moment. Wouldn't this be amazing? Can you imagine if a government official or a celebrity were accused of doing something wrong, and they actually responded by just simply admitting they were wrong? Like, this never happens, right? Can you imagine? Like, a celebrity or somebody or a government official is accused of doing wrong, and instead of lying, instead of making excuses, they just came out and admitted they were wrong. Like, can you imagine? Like, what if President Trump had just said, I was wrong about the election results? What if Governor Cuomo was like, yeah, I was wrong about the nursing home, you know, the nursing home COVID death totals. Like, I probably got that wrong. It was probably a really bad idea. Like, we would be blown away, right? That would be really countercultural. I'll tell you, I would vote for the first politician who would just come out and say, yep, I've messed up. I've been wrong before. That would be a breath of fresh air, because it would be so countercultural, wouldn't it? Let me just tell you something. The Christian message is countercultural. Good Friday is countercultural. What we're confessing as we worship, as we remember the cross tonight, it's countercultural. See, the message of Christianity is not, I'm a good person. I strive to do good things. I go to church. I believe in Jesus. I give money to the church. So this makes me good, and I'm right about everything. No. That's not our message. No, the Christian message is this. If I'm really honest, I'm a sinner. I'm wrong. I've messed up. I've hurt people, but God is good. Come on, it's not about me. It's about him. It's not about my goodness. It's about his righteousness, his grace, his mercy, his love. It's about the goodness of God. Pastor Tim Keller puts it this way. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Christ Jesus than we ever dared hope. Come on, isn't that true? If we're honest, we're really more flawed than we ever dared to believe, that we're really ashamed to admit. But here's the beauty of the gospel, church. Here's the good news of what Jesus did for us on Good Friday. In Christ, we're more loved and accepted in Christ Jesus than we ever dared hope. That is the gospel, my friends. And so let me end by looking at this verse from our text, Romans chapter 5, verse 11. Here's what Paul says. But we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, church. The gospel sets us free from the constant cycle of trying to convince ourselves and everyone else that we're good people and we're right about everything. If we're honest with ourselves, we can't even live up to the moral standards that we set for ourselves. If we're really honest with ourselves, there's this internal struggle that happens inside of us, because there are things that we want to see ourselves attain. We have expectations that we want to attain, and we can't even live up to the moral goals that we set for ourselves. And the gospel sets us free from that striving. No, we don't boast in ourselves anymore. It's not about our accomplishments. We boast in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus and because of his goodness. Come on, the gospel reminds us, Good Friday reminds us, that God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And so we're set free from this burden of having to be right about everything, having to prove to ourselves and everyone else that we're good people. It's not about our goodness anymore. It's about the goodness of a loving and gracious God who gave it all for us when he gave his one and only son on the cross. Cancel culture says, I'm right, you're wrong, so you're canceled. God's grace culture, come on, the culture of God's grace says this, I'm a righteous God, you're a sinner, but I love you enough to redeem you. Come on, church, that is the gospel, a loving God who runs out to meet us, who, while we were yet sinners, gave his one and only son for us. And that's what we remember on this Good Friday. That's what makes Good Friday so good. And so as we come to the end of this message, I want to lead you in a simple but powerful prayer. It's a prayer that the church has been praying for 2,000 years. It's actually called the Jesus Prayer. And it goes simply like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Come on, would you pray that with me as we stop for a moment to reflect on our sin, our shortcomings? Come on, the moral expectations that are written on our hearts that we can't even live up to. The expectations that we have for ourselves that we can't even live up to. Our past, our shame. As we think about what Jesus did for us on the cross, how he gave himself freely, how he gave his body, how he gave his blood for us. Come on, as we think about that, would you just pray this prayer with me in the most sincere form, right from your heart? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Father, we thank you so much on this Good Friday for the gift of your son, Jesus. We're so thankful for the cross. Jesus, we're so thankful that you gave yourself for us, that you held nothing back. You allowed your body to be broken. You allowed your blood to be shed for us. And we thank you for the awful price that you paid. And we take this moment to remember it, but not only to remember it, but to turn from our sins, to throw ourselves on your mercy, on your grace, to turn from our sins today. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you for your love. We turn to our Savior. We trust in you. Jesus, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us, you loved us, and you renewed us and reconciled our relationship with the Father. And for that, we give thanks. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.